And I think as I've gone through with practice, you do realize, you do come to realize that actually having a sustainable approach that's really holistic and it's really intrinsic to everything that you do. It's, you know, you can't just design a standard home and plonk it on a site and go, oh, okay, now we're going to make it sustainable. Like it just doesn't work that way. A home is really a complete system, and you know it has to be. And so everything has to be considered to work well together, and it has to be that way from the start.
That's Beth Shaney of Wanaka-based Shaney and Norman Architects, and this is Homestyle Green. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Homestyle Green. This is the podcast dedicated to inspiring people to make a better place to live. This week I've got a conversation with Beth Shaney of Shaney and Norman Architects based in beautiful Wanaka. And we have a chat about how living and working in such a beautiful location helps to shape the work that Shaney and Norman do, but also how it inspires Beth to continue wanting to do things in a sustainable way and looking after that environment. It's a great interview. We also talk about the integration of rating tools, environmental rating tools like Homestar, with standards like Passive House. And it's been a bit of conversation about that here recently. And I think Beth has a really nice, refreshing, holistic way of looking at the benefits of both of those different approaches. Thank you for the sponsors of the show. I really appreciate contributions. I know there's some individuals who are helping out with Patreon. You can help support the show. Just jump onto the website, homestylegreen.com, and there's a Patreon button. Love to get any contributions you think are appropriate. Just helps keep the show free to listeners and helps cover some of the operating costs of bringing you the show each week. Big shout out to the team at Carbon Light. Burkhardt, if you haven't listened to that episode from last week, then do head back to 227 once you've heard this episode. He's got some real gems in that conversation. And big shout out to all the great work they're doing and being supporters of the show as well. All right, let's get into this week's episode. I started out by asking Beth how she got into architecture in the first place.
So architecture for me, it was a bit of a slow burn. Initially, as a kid, I was tossing up a lot between fine arts and science. I was very passionate about both. And I came to the realisation sort of right at the end that actually architecture is a fantastic mix of both those of creative and then scientific sides of the brain. So, yeah, that's what got me into it, really. Then studied up in Wellington, up at Victoria for 5 years, and then got a job up in a big practice in Wellington and worked up there for a very long time. Yeah, but always wanted to shift back south. I grew up in Christchurch, and I always really loved the seasonal change that Christchurch has, and I really miss that about Wellington. So I love that change in Wanaka and the fact that we're kind of forced to engage with the landscape and with the environment and our housing is as well.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to Anne Salmond, who a colleague of yours in Wanaka in the industry, and saying similar thing to her. Look, browsing through her portfolio on her website, you can't get away. You can't escape from that landscape out there. It's almost like every house has to respect that the unique landscape that you're in.
Yeah, it does, and it's on both levels in terms of, you know, physically and aesthetically how it sits in the landscape, but also more importantly, actually how it reacts to the climate. You can't ignore the climate here. It very much drives the design, and you know, a good design really has to respond well to that.
Yeah. Now you've been involved with sustainable design, I guess, right from when you studied. Would you say that you had that in mind when you were studying?
Yeah, definitely. And it was certainly something that in Wellington, though, it was harder to find clients that were that way inclined as well. They were definitely there. But that's one thing I really love about Wanaka is that there's a lot of people that are really, and I think it's partly due to the climate, like you're sort of forced to acknowledge actually the climate's something that we need to be mindful of and build in a sustainable way. So yeah, I really enjoy that about Wanaka, how there is that there's quite a groundswell of people that are that way inclined. I'm sure things have changed, and I've been in Wanaka a long time now, so things have probably changed in Wellington as well. But I did find that alignment was harder to find with clients up there. Yeah, but there's certainly a lot of people engaged down here, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how much of that is a sort of urban-rural divide and also just the nature of the landscape.
Both, I think. Yeah, I think especially living in a city, it's easier to disregard what's going on around you in some ways, because it's not as in your face. Whether here, you know, you can't help but engage with that. You know, and we remind it every day, you know, that we get to live and work in a place that most people just get to holiday at, which is a massive privilege, but it makes us so mindful of what we're doing then. You know, why would we do anything, and why would our houses or anything that it's actually going to have a negative impact on the environment and on the climate? So, it's very much a forefront, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Is there a trade-off with being in such a stunning, beautiful place, which is a holiday location for a lot of people, and general lifestyle and I guess also continuity of work? You know, is there plenty of work down there?
It's obviously got a bit quieter at the moment, but I think with COVID that's across the board. I don't think we're unique in any sense because of that. And we've actually had quite a lot of inquiry at the moment, you know, from overseas. You know, people, especially in places like the US or other places that aren't doing so well, particularly at the moment, you know, with their COVID response, people look at New Zealand, and especially if people have holidayed in Wanaka, it's like, well, actually, it's a pretty cool place to live. It's pretty attractive to people to move to. So I think we're pretty fortunate in that position. Yeah.
You're not designing bunkers, are you?
Not as yet. So and hopefully not.
I don't think that would do justice to the aesthetic and what's on offer down there.
No, and bunkers tend to turn their back on the environment as well rather than engaging with it. So hopefully not. Yeah, but I mean, we are very fortunate that we live in a place that is a really desirable place to be.
Yeah.
That said, it does have its challenges. It's a very expensive place to build.
Uh-huh.
And so that's often one of the challenges we have, is actually, you know, helping people, because everyone has a budget, you know, ultimately everyone does. And so it's helping people into the best home possible for their budget.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we do is actually trying to help people build a bit smaller, and therefore they can build smarter and build, you know, more higher performing, energy efficient homes.
Did you find when you were studying in Wellington that you learnt about sustainability, or where did you actually learn what that meant and how to implement it?
We did learn about it, but I don't think, and I think the definitely the teachings have changed now. This was a while ago now, I was at university, but it was almost a little bit of an add-on. And I think as I've gone through with practice, you do come to realize that actually having a sustainable approach that's really holistic and it's really intrinsic to everything that you do. It's, you know, you can't just design a standard home and plonk it on a site and go, oh, okay, now we're going to make it sustainable. Like it just doesn't work that way. So
you can't just bolt on sustainability.
No, not at all. It's not an add-on at the end, and it's not a nice thing to have at the end that you can just tick that box and go, that's it. You know, it's a home is really a complete system, and you know it has to be. So everything has to be considered to work well together, and it has to be that way from the start. Yeah, it's certainly not an add-on at the end.
And you went down the Green Star Homestar route fairly early on.
So I became an assessor last year. I'd always been interested in it for a long time, and in what Homestar could offer in terms of our housing. I'd also had experience with a previous employer as well. I worked with Ralph McLean for a short time when I first moved to Wanaka, and he really introduced me to Passive House. So it's been good kind of getting that knowledge of the different rating tools that are available. I really like Homestar at the moment. I quite like that. It's quite holistic in its approach. Like it's very much does factor in the energy efficiency side and a really good thermal envelope. You know, that's a big component of it. But I love that it also looks at other things as well. You know, it looks at water efficiency, you know, health materials, sustainable materials, sort of how the waste is managed and things like that. So I quite like that it's quite a holistic approach. Actually doing my own home at the moment through the Homestar scheme, and that's been a fantastic sort of learning experience as well.
Right. So anything that surprised you or any challenges that have popped up?
Challenges, I suppose, is getting some of the information, particularly around materials. Not all, and people, suppliers are getting better, but not all suppliers have the environmental accreditations that they could have or have the actual testing information or data available. So it did take quite a bit of digging in some cases to actually get the information that are required. And lots of people go, oh, yes, yep, no, it's got an FSC rating or it's this particular source. And it's like, okay, how do we back that up? That nice. Up, you know, where's the certificate that backs that up? But I'm hoping that with more uptake as well and people just being more aware of what products they're using, that actually that will become a bit easier.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because Homestar's been around for a while now, and I know that was one of the early challenges. It's interesting that that's still happening, and I guess there's some new suppliers that are having to catch up with that.
Yeah, I think so, and I think too, there's certain things with the Homestar too that I think if you're doing it on a bigger scale, would be easier to implement as well.
Sure.
Sort of more of a dense housing development as opposed to a standalone house when you're sort of doing, you know, the same paperwork trial essentially for a small dwelling. But it's definitely beneficial. And, you know, for our point of view on our home as well, we've built quite a small house. We're just over 100 squares for a little three-bedroom house. And what it's enabled us to do is then we could leverage off the Homestar rating to actually get a cheaper mortgage interest rate. So it's actually then helped to offset those additional costs. So it makes it a much more an affordable proposition.
That's a fairly new initiative is it ANZ?
Yeah, through ANZ. And at the moment, they're the only bank that I'm aware of that offers that. But I'm really hoping other banks will take that up as well.
Because
it makes a massive difference. So at the moment, there's a percentage reduction off a floating rate and a 0.75 off a fixed rate. I mean, at the moment, we're very fortunate. You know, interest rates are, you know, recordly low already. So, but just having that discount on top certainly makes, you know, your weekly or monthly repayments way less and therefore actually helps in terms of being able to afford to do something like that. So
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting about that is that it does make a significant difference. So it's more than just a nice looking billboard on a motorway. It actually makes a real difference to you as a future homeowner.
Yeah, exactly. And so certainly having those two things working in tandem, the Homestar rating with that package from ANZ, it certainly does help. But when you consider that as a complete package stepping out a bit further, you know, so you not only have a house that, you know, it's more high performance, but you've got the decreased mortgage rates, but then also, you know, you've got decreased ongoing living costs in terms of what our energy bills will be. So, so I think, and that's a big part of what we talk about with our clients. It's looking at it quite holistically. You know, so if you just looked at, say, our house on paper, without looking at that holistic picture, you know, you do pay more per square meter, and people get quite fascinated about the square meter rates. But actually, when you actually step back and go, okay, well, actually, you know, for our house, it was about $100,000 difference if we were to not do the Homestar rating. That would be the difference in cost that adds on. So it's quite massive. Yeah.
And the upfront cost or over the period of time?
Over a period of time, yeah. Yeah.
So you actually were able to project that out and do some calculations on the based on the running costs and the mortgage?
That was primarily the savings from the interest on the mortgage. Yeah. So I'm putting together at the moment a bit of a case study that I'll put up as a blog on our website, but just actually getting into that a bit more detail. I'm just doing some calculations with both some of the mortgage team in town, but also, you know, working out then long term in terms of the energy savings, what that means as a picture as well, because it certainly adds up, but it does require a bit more of a broad thinking approach rather than just purely looking at capital cost up front.
Yeah, but I mean, that's your window upgrades and more.
And your ventilation system, and, you know, I mean, because everything does add up, but yeah, to take it out, that difference in the and what we would ultimately pay is the interest repayment on the mortgage is huge. So,
and you'll be comfortable and healthy.
Exactly, it's all those other things that you can't put costs to.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. No,
and you mentioned You mentioned spending a bit of time with Rafe. It's a pretty good mentor to have. And you also mentioned introduction into Passive House. Mm-hmm. Have you had much to do with Passive House since then?
Not specifically. The only home that I've done with House that with the only home I've been involved with, sorry, that it has the Passive House certification was I was involved very late in the piece with the first Passive House that Rafe did on Plantation Road here in Wanaka. But it certainly followed the program with great interest, and I'm quite interested in the low energy home, the Passive House certification, like the next tier down. I think that has great potential for people too in terms of doing something that's potentially a little bit more affordable, but also, you know, a very high performing home. I think that's got a lot of potential as well.
What was your first reaction when you came across Passive House?
That was my first introduction really to airtight building, and that was quite a learning curve, you know, in Wellington where I was working, that it wasn't really taken into account. There's sort of, doing better in terms of insulation or your glazing spec might be better than code. But certainly that was quite a good learning experience to me in terms of actually the benefits of airtight construction and what that can mean.
Ironic, really, given how windy it is in Wellington.
Exactly. Yes, it would be. Yeah.
Be quite an advantage there.
I would have thought so. definitely. Yeah. But, yeah, just the benefits, really, of airtight construction, what that can mean, and therefore, the gains you're actually getting in terms of getting that performance out of your thermal envelope, actually just by having that protection to it.
Any reservations, either for you or for clients, potentially, of airtightness in general? Because I know a lot of people are concerned about it. They think, how can that be a good thing to be in an airtight building?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconception around what it means. And people think that, it's either airtight or it's breathable, which is a term that's quite misunderstood. People don't actually understand what it means, or they think that if you have an airtight house, you therefore have to keep all your windows and doors closed. I think for a lot of people, doing something that they perceive as different, even though it's by no means new technology, it's very standard overseas, people are a little bit hesitant to it. But there's certainly more awareness of the benefits to it, which is fantastic. And there's more and more builders down here, especially around Wanaka, that are actually getting on board with building, and actually factoring how you build those airtightness layers and what that means for the construction, because obviously your sequencing changes a bit and, you need all your sub-trays and your whole team to actually be on board with what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. So you worked with Chris Norman for a little while. How did Chris Norman Architecture become Cheney and Norman Architects?
Yeah, so I worked with Chris for about 2 years, we really enjoyed working together and got on really well. Had a very similar philosophy in terms of sort of life philosophy, I suppose, but also in terms of what we want our, what houses could be and increasing performance of those. And so I bought into the company 2 years ago, and hence the name change to Cheney and Norman Architects. Yeah, so it's very much a creative partnership.
If you were to just sum up that philosophy and the vernacular of your houses, the mm-hmm. style of them, how would you describe them?
Yeah, okay. We're probably a little bit different in that we don't have a set style. I think all our houses have a common philosophy in terms of how they perform and the sustainability of our homes and trying to make things as energy efficient as we can. But in terms of vernacular and what they look like, it's very much a collaborative effort with the clients and a tailored response to the location and the site. It's very specific to what that site is and the potential, the benefits and constraints of that site. And also working with really closely with the client and also their budget, obviously, as well. Yeah, so there's not a standard aesthetic or a style stamped across all our projects. We're very much collaborative in that respect.
Yeah, and you've got quite a range of sizes and I imagine budgets as well, just looking through some of your portfolio.
There are quite a range. We try and drive the size down, which is always an interesting conversation, but it does make A, housing a lot more affordable for people, and B, they can actually get some performance there. There's a bit of a misconception in Wanaka that if you build a house here, the market, you know, people kind of worry about what the market wants. Go, oh, you know, if we've got the site, you know, really for the market, we should be building 4 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms and what have you. But we really try and push on our clients that actually, you know, build something for you and build something that you really love and that's going to work really well for you and your needs and your lifestyle. And ultimately, if you do sell it, which is actually one thing we find lots of our clients don't. Our clients actually like living in our homes for a long time.
Right.
But when you do come to sell it, someone else is going to love that as well. There's a lot of big houses in Wanaka that A, aren't designed well for the climate, and B, actually aren't used for most of the year. Lots of people think they need to build almost a hotel for their extended family and friends and their network to come and stay. But it's actually a lot better often if you build a house that works really well for you and is much more condensed footprint, something that works well for you day to day, and it's actually cheaper to put your family up in a hotel if you actually really want to do that rather than building them one.
Do people believe you when you say that?
They do. We get more people on board. It's interesting at the moment, lots of people building Airbnbs because in Wanaka there's quite a shortage of accommodation. Pre-COVID times, there's a shortage of accommodation.
At the moment, there's a lot.
So some people do want to kind of go, oh, we should build an Airbnb because, you know, it's what the market wants and what we actually think is going to work. But, it's actually whether you need that extra space and you actually want to take on that extra cost, really. Lots of people are, aside from the Airbnb side of it, lots of people are being a bit more flexible, which is fantastic. You know, we love clients that come to us and be like, okay, this is how we live. This is what we want to be able to do, rather than, okay, I want 4 bedrooms and they must all be this size, and, you know, being a bit more structured about it. It's actually really nice to get to know our clients and go, okay, what's going to work really well for you and what's going to enhance your lifestyle and enhance the experience of living in Wanaka without building something that's unnecessarily large, because by being quite flexible in space, you can get a lot on a small footprint that still feels spacious, you know, without feeling very cramped.
Windows are a big feature because the scenery is so stunning. I imagine that must be a bit of a challenge sometimes for aspect and also for energy efficiency if you've got a stunning vista.
Yeah, both. Particularly, there's quite a lot of sections in Wanaka that are west-facing. And everyone goes, oh, I have lots of glazing, open up to the mountains, it's going to be beautiful. And then those houses are, you know, impossible to control the thermally inside because you're just overglazed and you're just overheating in summer. And then
it's an overheating issue
It is, and that's counter to what most people think. People think Wanaka, cold climate, but Wanaka in summer is very hot and lots of glazing to the west. You know, we have very long days here. You know, the sun's up for a very long time in summer. You know, we can be out and about doing things close to 10 o'clock at night. You know, it's quite cool, but it means
that you're getting that late sun at a lower angle as well.
Exactly, pumping in. So that's something that lots of people aren't so mindful of, but actually, we're very mindful of, because, you know, there's no point making a home that's super cozy in winter, but actually you're baking people in summer. So,
how do you do that?
Both those seasons.
How do you do that with a westerly facing aspect, stunning view? People want the big window.
Yeah, there's various ways you can do it. Sometimes it's actually not putting windows there, or actually being very mindful of the size and placement of those windows. More often than not, it's to do with shading devices and actually, you know, how we're preventing that solar gain actually hitting that glazing in the first place. And of course, it's also the highest spec window we can to actually, you know, stop that solar gain actually then entering the building.
Just looking through, you don't seem to be wedded to any particular materials as well. You've done full concrete houses and timber, and of course a favorite of the Otago region is the stone finish, the river stone finish on the outside.
Yes, there's a lot of schist around.
So where does that come from, the client, that sort of preference, or do you to guide people to what's going to work best for the site, or a bit of both?
A bit of both. Yeah, it is a bit of both. Some people have very strong views on what materials they like or don't like. Ultimately, we like working with natural materials, and I really like working with materials that are actually going to change a little bit over time and get a bit weathered and get a bit of a patina build up. Yeah, so it is. It is again a collaboration, but it's also figuring out what actually is going to work really well with the site. That particular site that has to mention that's concrete. I mean, that's quite rare for us. You know, we do try and minimize concrete where we can, but that house that was on an incredibly windy site, that, and actually having something that was effectively a little bit more bunker-like. I know we talked about bunkers before, but having something that actually, you know, that actually did really suit in terms of what. Yeah, the location of that house and it's, yeah, the winds that was going to be experienced in that spot.
Yeah, interesting. Because, I mean, you do get the wind, but you also get, you've got quite a lot of indoor-outdoor type flow, you know, big opening doors and windows for when, because it's not windy all the time, I guess. So you've got to allow for people to live in the houses in different ways, in different seasons.
Yeah, exactly. And it's being mindful too of, you know, we do really try and connect our houses with the outside and to have space that you can open up and have that indoor-outdoor flow, like you said. Often in our houses we'll have multiple places they can do that because there might be some spaces that work really well in the morning, but then there might be some that actually work better in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you might want to be in the sun, but actually in summer it's really nice to have a space that's shady and out of the sun. Yeah, quite often in Wanaka, houses tend to open up, you know, to the north or the west, but actually we find, you know, like I was saying before, that the solar issues that you can get on the west, it's actually quite nice having outdoor spaces on the south, which is sometimes a little bit counterintuitive, but having a space that you're both out of the wind, because the prevailing wind here is northwest, so it's pumping in that way, but also out of the sun is actually fantastic.
We get
really hot summers here, and actually having some respite from that can actually be really lovely.
I think that is a really good point. Like you said with the windows, it's a misconception that cold is a concern in terms of heating, but that you've got to really design for the whole year, which includes those hot summer days as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, and again, it's just sort of looking at it holistically and actually how it's going to, like you said, how it's going to perform for that whole year, not just one getting sort of focused too much on one particular time.
Yeah. Another thing I really like about your website is that you walk people through the process. You've got quite a nice graphic page that describes the architectural process. Are a lot of your clients first-time house builders?
Yeah, they are. Well, some have built before, but often it's first time using an architect. So that's quite a different process. Yeah, so we just find it's quite useful. The more information we can give people and actually talking through what happens at each stage and why, it's just really beneficial for them understanding the whole process, because, you know, each stage is quite important and there's key things that have to happen in each stage. And it just helps them understand and get on board with actually what's required at each point and get excited about each stage as well, because fun milestones that happen along the way.
Are there some surprise? Are people usually surprised at the any part of that process?
People can be surprised at how long it takes.
But
it ultimately does take time. And we actually encourage our clients to take time too, especially up front, sort of in that concept design phase when you're kind of going through a few options and putting a few ideas back and forth. It's actually really nice to have time, especially for the clients, to stop and kind of pause and just sort of think about it and mull things over. We have some clients that kind of want to rush through the whole thing because they want to be on site or, you know, be finished by Christmas is the normal one.
Yeah.
But it's actually nice, to work it through properly and actually to take all those, you know, all the factors into consideration. That we do enjoy too, just taking time to get to know our clients in the first instance and helping them with work out the brief. There's a big chunk of work that needs to happen before we actually start drawing anything. And that's working out with them, you know, what are the really key things in their brief, and then working out with them, you know, how does that sit against their budget? Because, I mean, that's very common, that aspirations to budget are often quite mismatched. So there's a big chunk of work that has to happen before we actually draw anything to actually get those things working well.
So are you including Homestar on all your designs now?
We certainly try to, so we have a few on the drawing board that's definitely the intention at the moment, which is fantastic. My house is the first one we've actually had certified, so that's really cool. People are getting more and more on board, which is awesome, and especially, you know, like I was saying with the ANZ interest rates, you know, there's having that financial incentive as well, you know, it certainly makes it people can understand the benefit of actually getting something certified.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, for other people, it's not that, it's more actually having something that's measurable and they know that they're getting a home that's warmer and healthier and ultimately, you know, a lot more comfortable than a standard house. So, you know, having that third party accreditation really kind of helps with some people as well, you know.
Yeah.
And we enjoy that process too. Part of what we're doing moving forward too is actually working with another consultant here in town to actually get our houses, you know, get the energy modelling done up front, you know, because we want to know what's going on so we can, you know, design them to be better. But also it helps give that reassurance to our clients as well. And it also means that ultimately, we can try and improve on every house, which is important too.
So what sort of modelling are you looking at using?
So with my house, we got Jessica Ayers from Hibernia here in Wanaka to so using the PHPP software. Which is fantastic. Yeah,
I think it's really exciting to see people that are combining the power of PHPP with Homestar because a lot of people in the industry get wedded to one side and they see them as polar opposites, but they're not really.
They can be complementary. I think they can be completely complementary, like, because they're definitely not mutually exclusive. Because you could even go to the extreme of actually having a passive house, you know, a certified passive house, and get a Homestar rating. Because you know, ultimately, a passive house will achieve really a high amount of points and for the energy side of Homestar. But then there might be other areas you can go, oh, actually, well, we're doing a passive house, and we've got, you know, it's going to be really energy efficient, but you know, using the Homestar tool to go, okay, well, what other materials could we use that might be, you know, more sustainable, or can we use some recycled material? You know, how are we going to manage our waste on site, and what water fixtures and things are we going to use? So I think they can definitely work together. There is quite a misconception there. You're sort of in one camp or the other, but I don't think that needs to be the case.
Have you got any tips for someone who is maybe looking at doing a new build, maybe about to engage an architect or jump into the process? What are some tips that you'd say for people?
Yeah, I think first up, spend a quality of time thinking through what your brief is. You know, what is it that you really want? Also, kind of, it's good idea to write everything down, because the more we have written down, then obviously it's a bit easier to make sure we're all on the same page. But also writing down things that you might take for granted, like everyone lives differently. You know, everyone has different patterns of the way they live and how they operate. People have different times of day. You know, people might be working from home or not. And actually, all those details actually really come into play within what the in-house will be. The more we know about that, then obviously the more we can suit your house to you. But I think the big thing is going into it, knowing what your budget is, being prepared to talk about your budget. People are often not comfortable talking about money, but actually ultimately we need to know what that is.
Right.
To give you the best house we can for that, but also to make sure it's within your budget, because the last thing you want to do is design you something, you know, that you fall in love with but then can't afford. You know, that's a poor result for everybody. So, being upfront with some of those hard conversations, and also just being a bit open-minded, I think. I know personally we really enjoy, just having that flexibility with people to be like, rather than going, okay, I want this, it's got to be this. This is the exact kitchen I found on Pinterest and it's got to be this size and this big. It's like, well, actually, what's going to work really well for you? So. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pulling together all as much information up front as you can.
Do you find that people, or do you feel like they're not always honest initially about the budget?
Yes. Some people just don't want to tell you, which is incredibly hard. And then some people, I think people, Kiwis, I think especially, just we don't like talking about money. It's quite a private thing. I think if we could, the more we can actually, if we understand what someone's budget is and what they're trying to achieve, then we can make sure we can meet that in the best way possible. So.
Where's the best place for people to go and check out your work and get in touch?
Yeah, on our website is probably a great place to start off with. We've got about 9 of our projects up on the website at the moment. And then otherwise on social media, but at Facebook and Instagram platforms as well.
And that was Beth Shaney of Shaney Norman Architects based in Wanaka. Do check out the Shaney Norman website. I'll put the links to that in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at homestylegreen.com/228 for episode 228. There are some absolutely stunning images of their houses situated in stunning landscapes and really complementary to those landscapes, as well as beautiful interiors as well. Beth's mentioned that one of their graduate architects in-house actually takes a lot of those photos, and they are quite amazing. So definitely check those out, and you can follow them on social media as well. Also check out some really great articles that Beth has written in their journal. Just listed under the blog section of their website, some really interesting stuff there as well. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you very much for listening. Also, thanks to those who are supporting the show. Big shout out to Burkhardt at Carbon Light for helping support the show. And it's really great to have listeners out there, and a few people also contributing on Patreon, which you can do if you do want to support the show. There's a couple of things you can do. Tell others. Head over to Apple. If you listen on Apple, leave a rating and review. That helps get the word out there. And, yeah, if you feel like contributing to help keep the show up and running, it'd be great if you could just click on the Patreon button on the homepage. Just provide any contribution you think is worthwhile as appropriate, and it's all much appreciated, just to keep the show free and available and up and running. I'm Matthew Cutler-Welsh. This is the Homestyle Green Podcast. Thank you very much for listening in. Now go make a better place to live.